This call today is about marketing per your human design and your strategy. And the way this call was born was I was getting a lot of questions about marketing and, you know, well, what am I supposed to do if am I supposed to wait if I'm a generator and I'm supposed to wait if I'm a projector? So am I just supposed to sit back and not do anything? So I thought it would be a great idea to have a call where we talk about that and get a little bit understanding about that. And leading us in today's call is our guest, Linda Stone. Woo-hoo!
Hi.
The queen of human design. And I don't know if there's anybody on this call that doesn't know their type, and I was just going to say this up front, that if you don't, you can call Kirsten at the Inner Human Design office, and she'll run your chart for free. And then you can read more about it on the Human Design Consulting website. But hopefully most people on today's call do know their type. And I also wanted to give you a tip before we dive into the call, and that's to tell you that Linda is a manifesting generator. And so to get the juiciest information from Linda is to ask Linda a question so she can respond. So first we're going to start with just talking about going through the different types and their strategies with marketing. And then later we're going to open it up for questions. Sound good? So Linda, without further ado, you're on.
Okay. So we can start with generators since, you know, 70% of the planet consists of generators, either the manifesting generator or the pure generator, which it's about half and half there. And when we learn about our type, we're told that the generator has a strategy, and the strategy applies to both the generator and the manifesting generator. It's the same strategy, really, and that's to wait to be asked so that you can feel in your gut, in that sacral center, what the response is. So rather than dictating your life from your mind, I think I should do this because of blah, 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 it helps to bypass the mind and get directly to your gut response so that you can actually feel it from your body if this is something that's correct for you. And so, you know, we don't think about this very much, but the most important things that we do in life are make decisions. And we make decisions every day. And the not self, you know, the part of us that has been conditioned to be something that we're not, makes decisions from the mind. And those decisions are based on conditioning of the open centers. So every decision that you make from the mind and from the conditioning of the open centers takes you further and further away from your true nature. So as you make decisions based on your gut response, then you dial in closer and closer and closer to your purpose in life and closer to the expression of who you really are, which is represented in your design through, you know, for those of you that have had readings, through your profile and your incarnation cross. So I want to help people get in touch with that response, that inner authority, so that they can come back to their true nature and operate from that place in life, which on a bigger, you know, in the bigger picture, eliminates a lot of the chaos that we see in the world. When 70% of the planet are generators, so can you imagine if 70% of all people operated from this inner truth, that we would eliminate so much of the pain and suffering in the world. So each generator that steps up to the plate to operate from that level is making their own unique contribution to the larger whole in eliminating a lot of chaos and frustration in the world and anger and violence and all of that. So it's really important to come from that place of truth so that who you are can really be fully self-expressed. So for the generator, it's the sacral response. And so a lot of times people come to human design and they, you know, the generators come to human design and they hear about the sacral response, and their whole life has become so removed from operating at that level that they just don't know really how to get back in touch with that again. They don't even remember having been in touch with it in some cases. So it is a matter of trusting the information that you're given when you learn your type, and then practicing and experimenting and watching how your life changes when you are following your strategy. So it can be a very sort of disconcerting to a generator that wants to market, you know, to be out in the world and generate business and create a business for themselves. It can be very disconcerting to hear that they have to come from response rather than come from initiation. So what I have found for me as a manifesting generator, that it requires a lot of awareness about what's going on in my body. And that's not easy for a manifesting generator, because we can get so moving so quickly that we don't stop to long enough to feel what's going on in the body. So the best way for a generator to market themselves is to put themselves in situations where there's something to respond to. So, you know, network meetings, get a coach that you respond to, create a group of people that you can all meet together on the phone once a week for a half hour or 45 minutes and check in with each other on how you're doing with your projects, and have the people on the call with you ask you, do you still want to work on this? Uh-huh. You still have the energy for this? You know, and just kind of go through a process of checking in with yourself. And that can be really helpful to have, you know, other people that are trying to live this way to work with you to help you stay in touch with that sacral response. And also, the sacral response is very subtle. You don't always need another person to ask you. You can get up in the morning, you know, and just have this response to the day, knowing that this is what I've got to do today. I've been noodling on this idea for some time, and suddenly your body's like, oh, today's the day. You feel it in your body. So you're responding to, you know, to what's going on within your body. You're not getting up in the morning going, okay, I really should do that today. It's on my list of things to do, and I promise so-and-so I'd do it, even though I don't really want to. I'm going to force myself to do it. So, you know, that's not how you want to enter your day for a generator. That's terrible for a generator to enter their day like that. So response can come from many things. It can come from an email, a phone call, a bird flying by, you know. That's the beauty of a generator, is that you can respond to anything. So in terms of marketing yourself, you've responded to placing an ad in a journal. You've responded to writing an article for something, or, you know, you can respond to just about anything. So give me some questions about marketing that you might feel stuck on, and let's see what I can come up with.
Well, Linda, this is Amy, and let me throw this out and see if maybe this is something that's on other people's minds. But as far as marketing, could you, like, get some tapes or take a course on marketing and then respond to the things that are presented and say, yeah, I'd like to try that kind of marketing, I'd like to try that kind of marketing, but no, I don't want to do that kind?
Absolutely.
Would that be a correct way to use your strategy?
Mm-hmm. And if you don't feel that you can just look at, like, maybe you're looking at a book or a package of material, if you don't feel that you can come up with a clear response and really get out of your head about it, have somebody ask you.
Mm, like a spouse.
And then feel your body. See, the response for a generator can be very different for each individual person. When somebody presents something to me and it's a no, oftentimes I'll just feel flat about it. It'll just be bleh. you know, or I'll move away from it. I've really physically stepped back, you know, and if it's something that I really want to do, I can find myself just jumping up and doing it. That's how quick I can respond. I'm in action immediately, but I'm a manifesting generator. So, but what else? What other questions?
Go ahead.
This is Hema. Are you a splenic, a manifesting generator?
No, I'm emotional.
Oh, you're emotional. Okay. Oh, that's encouraging.
So I think one of the keys that you said, Linda, was to put yourself in positions or situations that there is something to respond to.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the keys. And would that maybe move on to the, I don't know if people are ready, but would that be the same for a projector, for themselves to put themselves in a position to be invited?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But let's stay a little bit with the generators just for a few more minutes to see if everybody feels clear yet.
Belinda, this is Ellie. I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Say I'm out there and I'm talking and I can see that they need some kind of service, or they could probably really use some kind of service that I offer.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to handle that?
When you see something and you feel a response to it, go ahead and move toward it. You know, if you feel yourself moving toward it, go ahead and say, here's my card. I think I have something you might be interested in.
Okay.
And if they say, if you can feel the vibe, you know, if they kind of back up and move away, that's it. But if they come toward you and say, well, please tell me more, and then tell them more. You know, it's all energy. Is the energy open or does it shut down? You know, it's kind of like putting your toe in the swimming pool just to test the water.
The thing is
that, you know, it really works for you if you have no expectation. It's the expectation that can really hurt us. Because if we move towards somebody expecting them to be receptive to us, when they're not, we're going to go, oh, you know, rats, or be disappointed. But you just kind of go, well, I'm going to go check the energy over here. Let's just step up, and I feel drawn to go over to that person. Let's just see what happens. And then when you're there, it either happens or it doesn't.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Linda, this is Terry Cologne, and I've got to tell you, when you just said expectations, you just hit the nail on the head for me.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is I will hear something on a call, and I'll go, oh, you know, that sounds like something I would want to do. And then I'll go and I'll present it, or I'll be excited about it, and I don't get the response that I'm expecting, and then it just shoots me and deflates me.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So if you can approach it going, let's just see.
Exactly. So thank you for that.
And then, you know, you just kind of, it's all energy. Either the energy is receptive or it's not. Anybody else?
This is Margo, and I have the cross of the unexpected, and we talked about expectations, and that's totally been a block for me, is expecting the result, just like Terry was saying. And
yeah.
Being so disappointed that it wasn't going the way I thought it should go, so I just don't do it.
But it's a universal thing, isn't it? It's a universal thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
This expectation thing.
I'd love to experiment with a different way of being around that.
Yeah.
This is Sandra.
Uh-huh.
And on questions, does it matter how the question is worded? Because a few people and I have tried the questions, and sometimes you don't get that yes or no response, sacral response. So did I word the question wrong, or there definitely is not an answer, no response there?
What I've learned to do with that, you're a manifesting generator like I am, what I've learned to do with that is let it go. If I don't get a response, I just let it go. And then wait. It might come back later.
Okay, no rewording or anything?
Huh? Rewording? You can try that, but I don't know how you'd really do that without going into your head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Anita.
Linda, this is Karen.
I think Anita was
Hi. I am a 2-4 generator.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like what I'm hearing you saying is it doesn't matter if it comes from outside or if it's your own idea. What matters is your response to it. Is that true?
Right. And you have to be careful because there are a lot of people run around chasing their ideas and are very disappointed.
Because
so you have to be careful about that. When you speak of it that way, I mean, I can have an idea that, you know, I want to start this new thing, and I have to approach it very carefully. If I just go off and do it, you know, chances are I'm going to trigger a bunch of resistance and frustration. But if I approach it carefully, maybe call somebody and run it by them or put my toe in the water, discuss it with somebody for, you know, see how the energy flows. Don't just chase mental ideas.
Uh-huh.
Play with it.
Right.
And have no expectation.
Yeah.
Because
okay,
that seed of an idea might lead you, that idea may not manifest, but it might lead you to something that's an offshoot of that, which, you know, is really the correct thing. So that's why you play with it for a while.
Uh-huh. So the idea may come from your head or it may come from your gut, so you need to really discern where it's coming from.
There's a lot of ideas that come from the head.
Uh-huh.
But they're only ideas. When you look at a body graph, a design, there's no motor in the head center. These are just ideas floating through the mind, so there's no energy to support the ideas. That's why people get so frustrated with, you know, not being able to manifest what they think they should have in their life. So the idea has to get all the way down into your body to see, you know, where's the energy for that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Karen?
Hi there.
Hi.
I guess what my question is that I have all three knowing centers defined. And what I found is that I highly listen to my intuition. Like that's the one I've really developed over the years. So I will hear to do something and I tend to go do it. And I'm just listening to all this talking, I'm wondering if, let's say I hear the intuition like, oh, do this or whatever it is, if I should then be, you know, checking in with my sacral or asking myself, you know, a yes-no question to engage the sacral before I go do it.
Yeah, you have. If you get an intuition, and it doesn't feel like a mental, I should do this. It feels clearly intuitive. Then I would definitely test that reality.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can tell the difference. If you really pay attention, you can tell the difference between something that's mental and something that's got juice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can.
So you really want to look for the juice.
Linda?
Okay.
Linda?
Yeah.
Does it matter if your ajna is defined or undefined or if your head center is defined or undefined? Does that influence the input?
Mm-mm. Not really. Although, you know, open ajna people have a tough time with letting go of the mind. So to defined head people, but I think that's a little bit more difficult for open ajna people just because of all the mental conditioning over all the years in that open center. So let's talk about projectors. So Amy, did you have anything on your list of questions about projectors?
Specifically about projectors?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's kind of projectors and generator question.
Uh-huh.
And the question is, do projectors and generators need to hook up with the manifestor to do marketing?
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
Okay.
They don't,
Because that's one of the myths, you know, some people have asked me about is, Well, do I need to have a manifestor in my life, or should I hire one to do my marketing? So I just wanted to clear up that myth.
Mm-mm. No, yeah, you're right. That's a myth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're handy to have around, but you don't need them.
And for the projector, what type of invitation are they waiting for when it comes to marketing? How do they know it's an invitation to do marketing, or do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Projectors have to check an environment. They have to check things out. So a projector would need to go to a meeting or a training or talk to somebody, or they have to interact with people to check out whether or not what's happening with the energy, because they clearly know when they're not being recognized because they feel invisible. They don't feel heard or understood.
Mm.
And when they're with people that hear them, understand them, and get them, they know that. You know, it's really evident. Now, the trap is to go somewhere, have an expectation that you're going to connect with people and something's going to come out of it, and then go there and have that not happen. And then turn that disappointment in on yourself and say, gee, it's about me. Something's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to get that recognition or connection, or trying to get understood or be understood, is really a downward spiral for a projector. That's when they begin the process of compromising.
So their key.
I have this visual of a projector standing at the front of a room, and people are lined up to come toward the projector. And the first person steps up, and they have a little talk, and the projector says, you get me, you can go over there. Okay, you get that side of the room. The next person steps up, and they talk a little bit, and they say, oh, you don't get me, you're out of here. Next, yep, next, nope. You know, and I wish that projectors would look at life like that. You know, either somebody gets you or they don't, and if they don't, say goodbye.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Just move on.
So the invitation is almost them reading the energy of people getting them or not getting
them. They're brilliant energy readers of all the types. You know, mm-hmm. projectors are brilliant at reading a room, a person.
Mm-hmm. So invitation, does it always have to be verbal, or can it be this nonverbal energy?
It can be nonverbal energy, sure. It's
okay.
A feeling. It's do I feel invisible? If I do, I'm leaving. Or I'm not having lunch with this person again. You know, if you spent your whole lunch hour and the other person did all the talking and never asked you a thing about yourself, you know, how does that feel?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel so good. So, you know, you might not have lunch with that person again.
But wouldn't that be true of anybody else, too? Is this
I would hope so. But it's a real telltale sign for a projector.
Okay.
You know, and the unfortunately, the projector will stay in that relationship just to have it, and hope someday they'll be noticed, asked, or acknowledged.
And so the idea of don't get them, could you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean by that they don't get them?
Well, I was talking to my friend projector the other day in our study group. Amy was there, and she was explaining it. She said, you know, I'll be with somebody, and before I even finish my sentence, they're nodding their head, and they're going, oh, God, yeah, I know what you mean. You know, there's this connection in the dialogue, and then she's sometimes with other people, and all she does is sit there and listen, and there's no connection. There's no opportunity for the other person. The other person doesn't even want to know them, so how can they get them? So, you know, there's that interaction when somebody just gets you. You don't even have to finish your sentence. You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I can feel you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way. Instead of saying get you, it's like I can feel you, and I can feel who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, yeah. That's very good. Any projectors on the call that have questions?
It's Cora.
Hi.
And, yeah.
Go for it, Cora.
As you even talk about these relationships, you know, and you say, you know, move on, I still feel the resistance. You know, I'm going, yeah, but maybe I need to learn something about myself. Maybe, you know, maybe if I change myself, then they'll see me.
Uh-huh.
And your message is really strong
yeah.
about moving on.
Uh-huh.
And I have a situation in my mind which I've been struggling with for a long time. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting that I still have so much resistance, even though, you know,
well,
it's pretty clear.
The clue for you is that if there's a dialogue going in your mind, on in your mind that says, but I should do this because blah, 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 and I should because of this, and maybe this, and then, well, you know, what if that, and then this might happen, and, you know, the mind will go on, and this
uh-huh.
is very, very typical for projectors, the mind will really go on to justify why they should stay in that relationship or that job.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you cannot make correct decisions for yourself through mental strategy.
I really appreciate your image about having that, you know, that lineup of people, like, you get me, okay, you can stay, you don't get me, you move on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know that experience really well,
yeah.
but I tend to want to keep everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, you know, just practice over time. It's just about awareness. And see, projectors really are not supposed to compromise. For you to really live your fullness, no compromising allowed.
So
now can you tell me how we're supposed to market?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Once a projector's invited into something, they can do anything they want. So if you had an invitation years ago to be a coach, then market your till your little heart's content, because once you've been invited into something, you then become a manifestor. I mean, you really can do anything that you want to do. It's really...
And to be invited to be a coach, you just need somebody to say, you know,
Hey, check this out with me. I think you'd make a great coach.
Okay.
Really? I never thought of myself as a coach. No, come on, really, check this out. I think you'd be a wonderful coach. Okay, we go to the meeting, and you check it out, and the room feels great. Everybody gets you. It's just wonderful. You know, you got the invitation. You got recognized. Now you're a coach. Now you can go out and just do whatever you want to do in that realm. That's the beauty of a projector. Projectors are given energy. You know, they don't have a sacral definition. It's open. And when a projector gets invited, somebody is saying to them, here's this energy. Now let's see what you can do with it. And now you have the energy to go and do whatever you want to do within that invitation. But you can also use your strategy as you're in, say you're a coach, you're a projector, use your strategy. Let's say you go to a new networking meeting and you feel invisible. Well, don't keep going back there in hopes that they might connect with you someday. Try another one.
Mm.
You know? Or let's say you get a new client and, it's a struggle. Well, maybe you don't want that client. Maybe you need to pass that client on to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. So this lets us off the hook for cold calling for anything, doesn't it?
You can cold call if you want, sure. If that's something you really want
to
do within your current career that you've been invited into correctly, then go ahead and do it.
Well, I don't want to do cold calling. I was hoping that was off the hook.
Nobody does.
I'm just thinking of all the traditional kind of marketing things,
yeah.
you know, that... You know, even like persistence on phone calls, you know, keep calling somebody and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff. Like, it kind of goes out the window.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a connection, fine. If you don't, go to the next person on the list or don't bother.
Yeah.
Go to a networking and wait till you respond. Is that way I'm understanding?
Yeah.
Or wait till you feel accepted into something?
Yeah.
Or invited?
Yes. You can feel the energy when you're in the room or when you're with the person. You can feel what's happening. You guys are so wonderful at being able to feel what's going on. And use that. That's your gift.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I
Any other projectors?
Sorry? This is Virginia. I'm a projector.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi. I have the Cross of Eden, so I think what I do is I'm projecting onto everything what's missing or right.
Which cross do you have?
They call the Cross of Eden.
Eden, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what is it you project?
Projector. So I see what's wrong with the group or even with the wave maker.
Uh-huh.
Almost everything that I do, at a certain point, I start out very enthusiastic about it. Then I see the limitations of it, you know, which should be a good thing because I know how to use it more appropriately and use it with other things. But for me, there's like a rejection happening. Like this.
You're breaking up a bit. Do you have a particular question about that?
Yeah. Can you tell how to use this strategy in a way that's helpful?
To use your projector strategy in a way that's helpful?
Yeah, and with that Cross of Eden, which is kind of pointing out what's missing or what's wrong.
Yeah. Carefully. You know, you want to be very careful that the energy is open to hearing what's wrong. I don't have your chart in front of me, so I can't really, you know, but, you know, I'm imagining you must have a 3-5 profile or something like that if you're talking about that. So you're designed to point out what's wrong. You know, 3-5 profiles make great wavemaker coaches, great healers of any kind, chiropractor, all kinds of different healing type of modalities because they're the fixer. You know, they're there to fix something. They're the general. They get in, they get out, they fix it, they see what's wrong. And so it really works well for you to do that. But being a projector, you can't volunteer that to somebody that hasn't, you know, paid you to come and have a session with you. If they've paid you to come and have a session, then you've been invited to give them your knowledge. And you tell them what's wrong and how to fix it. But if you walk up to your sister and say, you know, you really shouldn't dye your hair that color, she's probably going to get mad at you. So there's times to use it and times not to use it, and you have to feel the receptivity of the energy and as to when it's time to talk about what's not work, what's broken, what needs fixing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Because that can be very painful to be a 3-5 projector, and you know what needs to be fixed, and then you offer it up, and you're rejected. But that resistance is the energy field telling you that you weren't quite in sync with the energy around you.
I think, Linda, one of the things that you said was very key was once you are invited, then you can almost be a manifester, and you can take a lot of action. And I think that's a myth, another myth that people have, that if you're waiting, you take no action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. You know, for projectors, the motto is, do what you love, and the invitations will come.
Mm.
It doesn't mean you're home, you know, watching TV all day. You know, what do you love to do? Well, go do it. And then, you know, there's this projector that... he's been in human design since the very beginning. His name is Randy. And he was telling a story about his life where his love was to study Egyptology. So he went to the library and he just did what he loved. And one day someone walked up to him and said, I noticed that you're doing this. We're all planning a trip to Egypt, and we're going to go do some digging. Would you like to be part of our team? I mean, this guy's heart leapt out of his chest. This was like the invitation of all invitations. But he was just doing what he loved, and the invitation came. Somebody recognized him. And he made several trips to Egypt to do some digs.
Linda, that brings up something that I've heard about projectors, that sometimes they only get like one invitation, or, you know, the invitation. Is that, did I get that wrong?
Well, it, not just one. But, you know, they can get a half dozen or a dozen. I mean, chances are you're going to have, you know, not more than a handful of different careers in one life. And once
so
you've been invited,
that was in reference to like careers or something.
Yeah, once you've been invited to a career, like, you know, doing, studying, or being involved in this Egyptian thing.
Right. Yeah.
Then, you know, he was involved with it for years, and within that, he could do what he wanted. He could go on as many digs as he wanted, or not, or, you know, make suggestions, and
he could become a manifestor, so to speak.
Yeah, within that
realm, yeah.
He can do whatever he wants within that. Once you got, that's why there's only, you know, like a handful of invitations that the projector really needs to be concerned with.
I see. And just kind of a side note around that is, you know, the projectors are given the discount for books and things.
Yeah.
What's that about? Is that because they
Well, I'll tell you what that's about.
Yeah.
That is because projectors are really, in this era, are really supposed to step up. I shouldn't say step up. They're really supposed to be the leaders. And because so many of them are not living their strategy, you know, they've compromised and they're doing jobs they don't like or whatever, they're not available. So Ra wants to make it as easy as possible for projectors to really get how powerful and how important they are, because they've lived so much of their life feeling unimportant. But he wants, you know, so he wants to encourage them to study human design, because when projectors really get what a projector is and how, what incredible contributions they can make, then they can come into their power. So he's trying to empower projectors.
I see.
Can you give a reference to this? How do you get this discount or where?
Just go to jovianarchive.com and you can look around there, and there's a projector endowment fund or something, and you can, I haven't looked at it, but I think there's certain products that have a discount.
Mm-hmm.
Certain products and certain classes to encourage projectors.
Can you repeat that website?
Jovian, J-O-V-I-A-N, Jovian Archive, A-R-C-H-I-V-E .com.
Okay. It just, this is Lori again. It seems like all of a sudden I have all these projectors around me.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of interesting, but so I've got a particular interest in projectors right now, so that's why I'm asking so many questions.
Oh, okay.
I've got like about five or six of them. You know, it's
well,
like,
projectors,
whoa.
Projectors are mental beings. You know, they are. They're probably the most mental. What I mean by that is they need mind candy. You know, they're just, they need to read, they need to study, they need to understand things. And so human design, the study of it, is great mind candy for a projector. It really is.
Amy mentioned a website called Human Design Consulting website.
Yeah, that's my website.
Okay, is that how you'd find it? Or what's the name? Is that humandesignconsulting.com?
That's my website, which will, you know, tell you some information. But if you want the projector endowment information, that's jovianarchive.com.
Yes, and Linda's address is humandesignconsulting.com.
Linda?
Yes?
What if, as a projector, a person is invited, but they're invited by a person who doesn't really get them?
Well, it's probably not going to feel very good. I wouldn't compromise and accept that.
Okay, so it has to really feel right.
Yeah. You know, projectors have, just like everybody else, they have a particular design. And they know who they feel who they are. And if somebody doesn't get them but invites them anyway, they can tell. You can feel it in the energy. And that's really, you know, that's not a great invitation. So you don't take any invitation that comes along. You're selective, like that line of people in front of you. Yeah, you can stay. No, no, no. You know, you get to choose.
Is there a motto for generators?
No, but we can come up with one.
I like the one that you gave for projectors. It's sort of like, you know, if you build it, they will come, or I don't know. But,
Do what you love and the invitations will come.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to think of one for the generator.
Okay, maybe you can post it when you think of it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So do we have any manifestors on the call?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
Who's that?
This is Cheryl Coffey. And
hi,
I've worked with Diana, and she thinks I'm a manifestor, but we don't know when my birthday is, and we've run a couple charts, and one of them is a manifestor.
Oh, okay. And is Kathleen Poor still on the call? I seem to remember she's a manifestor. So it's really interesting. It's very simple with manifestors. I mean, it sounds simple. It's not simple, though. You would think that it would be. But manifestors can initiate. They can do whatever they want to do. And there's nothing, you know, to stop them. Now, they carry energy that makes other people nervous. So through informing, you know, that's their strategy to inform, they put other people at ease so that nervousness, you know, can subside, or at least the other person's given a chance to deal with their nervousness and get comfortable. But manifestors are really here to do what they want. Now, they're conditioned to be generators. So we have a lot of manifestors on the planet that are not doing what they should be doing. They're waiting for something to respond to. They're waiting for somebody else to tell them what to do. And that's exactly backwards. So when you work with manifestors, you have to encourage them to come forward and initiate things. And some of them are very shy about that. So it's funny because when people read about the types, the one that they want to be is a manifestor. And of course, they're not most of the time, because that's only about 8% of the population. And the manifestor, as romantic as it sounds and how wonderful, is one of the most difficult types to be.
Where did the ideas come from for a manifestor?
Where do the ideas come from?
Like from inside, or did
yeah.
they see a need in the world and kind of respond to it? But it comes
impulses,
inside.
Internal impulses, ideas. What do they want to do? They know. You know, they know what they want to do. Most of them do.
So when, this is Lori again, so when the difference between the manifestor and a generator is a generator can get that impulse or that feeling inside and respond to it.
Uh-huh.
So, but a manifestor just go with it immediately. They don't
just kind of go, oh, I got this idea. I'm going to do it.
I've been trying to play with this to figure out, how to fit this in, because you're right. I mean, my husband has said for years that people are intimidated by me. And I'm also a leaper. You know, I get an idea and I just jump and go. And so, but like I say, there is that nervousness from people, and then that ends up being resistance.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm wondering about a manifestor, is it better to, like, instigate things and get them going and then walk away? Like, sometimes I feel like I'm just the idea person, and I instigate it, stimulate it, and let people know this is possible, because most of the things I do, people think, well, that could never happen, and I'm like, well, why not? Let's just do this, this, and this, and off we go. But then sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to then just walk away and go do an idea someplace else, but not be involved in the whole project.
Yeah, actually, that's very true for a manifestor, that they're not the sustainers of something. They are the initiators of something. And then, you know, initiate a generator, and a generator could do that thing for the rest of their life and be really happy. But a manifestor can't, you know, that's not how a manifestor is.
Okay. Yeah, because I think in the past I've been offended by that and then feel like, well, I started this, I should get to be a part of it. And I think once I recognized that just wasn't my job and I didn't take it personally,
yeah,
it was easier than to just give the power and the idea. And actually not even, people don't even know I initiated it in the first place, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just accept the job that I've been given, do it, and walk away.
Yeah.
And that's made it easier.
Yeah. The manifestors and the projectors and the reflectors do not have a sacral center colored in their design. It's not defined. The sacral center is life force energy. It's energy that we use to build things. There's 70% of the planet have this energy to build things. And the projector and the manifestor and the reflector don't. Yet, because that center is open in them, they will mirror the sacral center, and they become workaholics, and we call them super slaves, because they end up doing everything when they're not really designed to do everything. So we've got all these kind of roles that are all messed up because of conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to sort it all out and get everybody in their proper roles so that they're happier and they can live their purpose.
Linda?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're done with manifestors or not, but I have a general question for partnering with other types. My understanding that in your organization, in IHD, that you specifically look for a projector type for administration, and I'm just wondering about, you know, what Rod talks about, the Penta and the ideal kind of business structure, and I'm wondering if this, in terms of being coaches and if we want to work with other people, form like a coaching group, if there's an ideal way to approach that.
Yeah, thank you for, I was going to talk about the Penta. Projectors don't necessarily make good administrators. They make good leaders and directors. Generators make good administrators. Because they have the detail, they have the patience for detail, and they can really build a solid foundation because of that. So, but getting back to the Penta is five people. And if you're having trouble with your business, with your marketing, with, you know, getting things moving because there's not enough stimulation by yourself to create the invitations or create the asking, then if you form a Penta, you know, five people, we get together once a week and we stimulate each other. We ask each other questions. We invite each other. It doesn't mean everything is going to work out and you're going to do everything that comes up in those meetings, but at least it stimulates the energy so there's things to respond to. And, of course, a projector wants to be in a group of five where they feel that they really are being seen, you know, really feel connected to that group. And you know, you just have to have a good connection. I wouldn't worry so much about, oh, well, I need one generator, I need one manifestor, I need one, you know, blah, blah, blah. The five of you will make up a manifesting generator. You put any five people together, you know, 9 times out of 10 or probably 99 times out of 100, you're going to create, with all that energy together, a manifesting generator energy. So there'll be lots of energy in that group to actually get things done. And that's what a manifesting generator does. They get things done. So, you know, that's a good tip, you know, to, if things aren't moving, the energy's not vibrating for you like you'd like it to, get in a group.
This is Sandra.
Hi.
Since it with the aura and human design, it has to be in person, not through the phone.
I don't agree with that.
I think it can be.
I think it can be on the phone.
This is Jody, and Linda gave me my reading by phone, and it's very powerful. So I think it's I don't know that it has to be in person.
Yeah. I mean, you can if you're more comfortable doing it in person, then go for it. But I don't think it has to be in person.
Well, I think that was because Ra had said that before, about the influence of the auras.
They have to be connecting, touching. The auras have to be touching. But, you know, I'm sure there's something that, you know, it just may not be practical for people to get together physically. It's so much more efficient to get on a phone call. So play with it. If it doesn't work on a phone call, then put something together locally where you can meet once a week or something.
Certainly generators could respond through phone.
Mm-hmm.
Respond. You don't have to be in some presence.
Yeah.
Respond to something.
Any other questions from anybody? We don't have any reflectors on the call. Yeah? Go ahead.
This is Marco. I'm a projector, and it was curious to me what you were saying about in a business. What kind of position would a projector be best suited for in an organization or a business?
Well, it depends on the particulars of your design, but generally speaking, they're best in a position of leadership, of being able to direct things.
Okay. So
now, some projectors will be really good with detail. It just depends on their design. Some projectors won't be. So, but in an organization, if we're looking at the hierarchy, you know, in terms of that, some type of a leadership position.
Okay.
Linda, I have a generator question.
Yeah.
If you find yourself responding to everything, like everything's a yes, and then you get confused and you don't know what to focus on, what do you do?
Mm. Take a bubble bath. Well, I don't think that is probably what the 100% of what's going on.
Okay.
You know, I think maybe...
Is it maybe some of the heads getting in the way and it's not the sacral?
Are you talking about yourself?
No, I've had this question asked. Like,
okay.
People will get a bazillion ideas and they don't go in any direction because they don't know which one to focus on.
Yeah. I suspect that's mental energy.
Okay. Okay. Well, I see we just have a couple of minutes left on our call, so I was going to ask if there's any you know, burning questions that someone hasn't asked yet. And if not, I thought we'd go around and see if people would be willing to say what was the most juiciest bit of this call that they got for themselves today.
Well, this is Lori, and I just wanted to say that I want to ask, actually, a question about the manifesting generator.
Okay.
Because we didn't really talk about that, I think. Once we get responded to, or get
once you have something to respond to?
Once we get asked, then we can be a manifester. Then we can manifest, just take over.
Well,
And inform.
Yeah, the strategy for both manifesting generators and pure generators is the same. So we did talk about that. But the difference between a manifesting generator and a generator is that once you've responded to something, then you just move into it and make it happen. I mean, you just really do. You move into it and you do it.
Okay.
Whereas a generator can respond to something, and it might take 6 months for it to happen, because they have to go through a different process, whereas the manifesting generator is boom, 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 it's done. So they're just fast, and they're efficient, and they know what steps can be skipped.
Okay.
And they skip them. So
That's what I needed to know. Yeah.
They're quick to take the response into manifestation. to bring it into, to concretize it into the world, to actually manifest it. They're just quick.
Thank you.
And neither one is better than the other. They're just different.
Right.
Poor generators.
Stop it. I already feel bad enough.
Anything else anyone would like to add before we close? Did you guys like the call?
Oh, yeah. This is Virginia.
Yeah.
That's a good reminder, our types. I think we just all kind of go astray. So being told not to compromise is wonderful.
Yeah. And I thought that up front one of the key things Linda said was about the expectations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's true for the generators and the projectors and the manifestors.
And the dog, too.
And the dog agrees with that. For once, it wasn't my dog.
Sorry about that.
Well, I want to thank Linda, then, for leading this call for us. It was wonderful, Linda.
Great.
Well, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
So I think this is the last lab of the mentoring program. So thank you all for joining us. And we all shall meet again. Bye, everyone.